Welcome everybody. When I decided on the topic, it was over a week ago. I was out of town last week, and I knew that I wouldn't have a chance to prepare. And I actually didn't realize how apropos, unfortunately, the topic would be Chumros and Kulos, because of the kidnapping of, as I would say, our three boys. Am Yisrael, I think, has reacted in the proper way in terms of tefillot, and because it's a tzara for all of Klal Yisrael, our boys are not necessarily safe in our own country. Everyone is trying to react through tefillot and by also improving their shmiras hamitzvos in terms of working on their mitzvos and acting as the extra zehiros. And I wanted to speak about that today in terms of chumros. People are adding zehiros. You know, what's the proper approach to chumros? However, before I begin, I'd just like to say that when we try to add extra zehiros to our lives, extra precautions because of what happened, we have to be very, very careful to make sure that we do it in the proper way. Now, what do I mean? There's a Gemara in Maseches Tainis, a very famous Gemara about Choni Hamagel. Everybody knows about Choni Hamagel for two reasons. Number one, Choni Hamagel was the person that slept for 70 years. And second, everyone knows the famous story of Choni Hamagel, that once when there wasn't rain in Eretz Yisrael, and we know today also, we haven't had a rainy season, we need more rain. But we know that at least now, when you turn on the faucet, water comes out. But in days of Choni Hamagel, when there wasn't rain in a certain year, it presented a real danger to all of Klal Yisrael that was living in Eretz Yisrael. And Choni Hamagel decided to take action with his own hands, and he drew a circle, where it tells us, and he stood in the circle, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't bring rain, I will not leave this circle. And what happened was, the Gemara discusses what happened. First, a few drops came down, then a lot of rain came. But what people don't know is the aftermath of this story. That Shimon ben Shetach, who was the leader of Am Yisrael at that time, sent a message to Choni Hamagel and said to Choni Hamagel, I should put you in Cherem. Because what you did, you essentially put a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a corner. You didn't give a Kadosh Baruch Hu a choice. You basically said to Kadosh Baruch Hu that if you don't bring rain, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stay in the circle. And what would have been if it would have been like the years of Eliyahu HaNavi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the Mafeach of Geshem to Eliyahu HaNavi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, didn't want to bring rain, and therefore either he would have had to bring rain, or of course the Chilul Hashem, he wouldn't have listened to you. Says, but what can I do? I can't put you in the Cherem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously listens to you. Therefore we see that unless we're talking about a personality besides Choni Hamagel, be very, very careful not to put a Kadosh Baruch Hu into a corner. In other words, to say that I'm going to do this and this until something like that happens. Because it could be, let's say, for example, it could be that this is something which is very difficult, and we can't necessarily force a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand. And this is also Gemara in Maseches, another Gemara in Maseches Tainis, that Dafyu Dalam Beis. Gemara tells us that if a person discussing Tachanun, in Tachanun we know we fall on our face, actually the makar, the source for Tachanun is yesterday's parsha, of Yiflu Ar Rosh Aram Tneim, Rosh Aram Tneim on your face, and Tachanun has a great koach, a great strength. And the Gemara says that when the Gemara mentions that a person should not fall, an Adam Gadol should not fall on his face, because he should not fall on his face, unless he knows that he will be answered, just like Yeshua ben Nun, after the battle with Ai fell on his face, and he knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer him. So such a person can fall on his face. But another Adam Gadol should not, because it would be a bizayon to a Talmud Chacham, to a great leader, he would actually fall on his face, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not answer. Therefore, we have to be very, very careful that what we do, understand that we can't put either HaKadosh Baruch Hu or ourselves in a corner. In other words, it's one thing to add a zehirus, a chumrah that we know is something that we can handle for a very long time, or to add a chumrah for a certain amount of time. Let's say, for example, before Shabbos was going around was that people should light extra neros before Shabbos. Like I said, I heard the person who started this project told me three for each one of the boys. And that was just for 1 week, he said, because you can't add on for a second week, a third week, a fourth week. But when we try to, in any situation, we're trying to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for something, we'll be very careful to make sure that we don't put ourselves or Kadosh Baruch Hu in a spot where we can't come out of. So it's good if we're going to add an extra Zahiris, a Zerizis to our life, that we do it in a way where, you know, that we know it's we're something which is something we're comfortable with, and we feel we won't regret it at some point, and also for a limited amount of time. Okay, so now to speak about chumras. And we know chumras are very popular, extremely popular chumras. People like to be machmir. It's something also, especially sometimes boys go to yeshiva and they come home with chumros. They're very excited. And I like to see is, you know, what is the place of chumros in Torah society? I'd like to begin with Rabbeinu Yonah in the Maseches Brachos, Daf Aleph and the Beis. There the Gemara Maseches Brachos discusses when night comes, when is Tesach Chavim. Night begins at a time when three stars come out. However, it's not any three stars. However, it has to be three stars of medium magnitude. Three stars that are obviously stars of small magnitude, a large magnitude, but it's the three stars of medium magnitude. And Rabbeinu Yonah says that less than that is not night. If it's not a medium, if it's a larger magnitude, it's not night. And it can be larger stars that are seen when it's still day. It doesn't have to be smaller stars that are seen only in the middle of night, but medium magnitude. And therefore he said, the cave and shekane, the ain hakol b'ki, and not everyone is a baki. Sorach lizohir at sheyiru aktan, and be very careful, he says, to wait for to consider night only when the small stars come out. Obviously, we're talking about a person, we have time charts today, and people have already defined exactly what is night. In the days of Rabbeinu Yonah, when they didn't have time charts, and people sometimes would actually go ahead and decide what night was, they're looking outside. I don't know if anyone remembers, if anyone saw, there was, when I was younger, I was in college, there was a movie. It was the Frisco Kid, I'm not sure if I saw. I forgot the whole plot already, but I know he was in trouble. First of all, he was supposed to be a rabbi somewhere. I didn't know how welcome that was, because his life was in danger, waiting for Shabbos to end. And remember, he was waiting for the sun to go down, and I remember when I was 18 years old, and oh my gosh, this fellow doesn't know anything, right? He could be a rabbi in American West. I felt bad for the congregants, that's for sure. So, but you know, seriously, when a person doesn't have a time chart, looking at the stars, and he doesn't know what's medium magnitude, small magnitude. Rabbeinu Yonah says a person has to be machmir until he sees stars of smaller magnitude. Right? And he says, it's a cloudy day and you can't see the stars. So until you know, in terms of saying Kriya Shema, in terms of when Shabbos ends, you don't know when night is. So you have to wait, until the stuff is not in your heart anymore. With Erev Shabbos Gam Kein. And Erev Shabbos also, if it's a cloudy day, you don't know when the sun goes down, the sun does not go down. You should wait until you're sure. You start Shabbos earlier to make sure that you don't involve yourself in the suffix. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, and this is underlined, V'zehu Ikar Hayira. This is the Ikar Hayira, Lizohir Me'atzveikos, V'lushalolastos Kamitzvos, Adasa Hergol, She'onish HaSofik Yoser Midai. What shows Yiras Hashem? Yiras Hashem is shown by somebody who is very careful about not involving himself in a suffix. Now I want to underscore, it doesn't mean that you have to be choshesh for every single sheet of the Rishonim or of the Achronim, because we have a psak halacha that we follow. However, if a person has a suffix about what the halacha is, a person should not say, oh, it's only a suffix. The Ikar HaYira is shown by a person who is concerned about Sveikos also. And that's the first place where a person has to have a chumrah. Person that has to have a chumrah, and sometimes we're machmir, is when a person had himself maybe has a suffix, a posek has a suffix, or you're somewhere you don't know what what the halach would be. Let's say, for example, you're in a certain place. You know, we live in Eretz Israel, but people who live in America. So you know, you go to a store and you want to buy something. There's always hashkacha. But let's say, for example, I don't know if anyone's here. Someone comes from Europe, England, another country, and you want to buy something in the store. So there's a list, right? And sometimes if you don't have the list or you're visiting, you can't just say, "Well, this is probably kosher." But a person has to be machmir when it comes to a suffix. But again, a suffix is not a suffix every single shita. A suffix means the person himself really does not know what the halach would be. That is the ikra here. And that's what the Seder Yom says. We have to very, very be careful that and that's where there's a place actually to be machmir. In source number 3, the Shalosh Tshuvos Mishnah Halach has mentioned, Dai lo hayir mi Lashon Rabbeinu Yonah, the Igeres HaTshuva, Zech Lal Gadol B'Torah, Kol Dabar She'enach Yodein, B'mutar Asa, Reza Asa Lech HaShishil Chacham, B'yomra Lech Shul Mutar Akan. So in other words, the person that doesn't know what Halach is, the person has to wait until he has the Shaila, and the person tells him it's okay. So that's the first place, and probably the most important place for a Chumrah. Now there's another place for a Chumrah. Where is the other place for a Chumrah? Another place for a Chumrah would be, and this is in the Gemara, where a person's afraid that if he doesn't have this Chumrah, he might be over a certain Isser. Let me begin with the Gemara Masechet Kedushin Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis, source number 4. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, Misyached Adam Imachoso. A person is allowed, now we know there's an Isser of Yichud, and therefore a man and a lady who are not married are not allowed to be in a room alone together. However, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Asi says a person is allowed to have yichud of a sister, the door in imo in vito. He's also allowed to live in the same house with his mother and with his daughter. So, in other words, in terms of being with a man being with a sister for a certain amount of days, that's okay. They shouldn't live permanently together. However, a person is allowed to live with his mother. Let's say, for example, a couple only has one child, a son, and father dies. Or let's say, for example, they have a daughter and the mother dies. So it's not a problem having yichudish living together in the same house. Ki amra kame de Shmuel, when this halakha was said before Shmuel says, asur l'syached im kol arayah shebetorah. It's usher to have yichud of all the rayas in the Torah. It's usher to be alone with any of the rayas. Those who you're usher to marry, you can't be alone with. Vafilu im behema, and even it's usher to be alone, even with an animal, because we know that bestiality is usher, and therefore it's usher to be alone with an animal. Tan, v'siachid adam im imo v'imbito v'yashim v'kira basar. Mara mentions that, you know, especially in those days when they necessarily have all the clothes they needed, a person's allowed to have yichud with his mother, his daughter, and he's able to sleep with them in the same bed even. But to yuchta to Shmuel, and this is a rejection of Shmuel, who holds that you're not allowed to yichud of your mother or your daughter. So I'm allowed Shmuel will respond with Tameich, Chavetanya, Achoso v'chamos v'shalkar z'torah v'shachem al v'edim. He says, but Shmuel said, I don't understand. There's a brayse that says, with your sister, mother-in-law, and all other rishonim in the Torah, you can't have yichud except with Eidim. Ve'edim in shlo Eidim lo. So therefore it seems that any other rishonim in the Torah, any of the relationships that are forbidden, you can't have yichud with unless they're Eidim who are watching you. And that would include a mother, a daughter. So Gemara answers all Tanoyi. It's Machlokas Tanoyi. So Tanya of Rav Meir said, Hizaru v'im ne'biti. Rav Meir said, be careful for me, watch over me when I'm with my daughter. Very hard to understand. Amar Rabbi Tarfo, Hizaru v'im ne'kalosi. Be careful for me because of my daughter-in-law. So liglad olav osa talmud. So certain talmud laughed at Rabbi Tarfo. Well, you're afraid of such a relationship, something's going to happen. So amar v'ur shal mechanina ben gamliel. Lo yam and muatim ashenisha osa talmud chamoso. Dominant days passed, and this Talmud was nifshal of his own mother-in-law. Afilim v'hema.
So and the person has to be careful even with a behemoth. They shouldn't stay in the same room with have yichud of a behemoth. Abaye and machlal and mekuli davra. Abaye, if he was in the field, remove the animals from the whole field. Rav Sheshet mavra la mitzra. Rav Sheshet would have the animals cross to the other side of the river. Rav Rav Chanan ben Ardoi came to visit Rav Kanal from Nara, and he saw that Kahana was learning, and there was a behema there. So he says, "I don't understand. Aren't you concerned about behema being in front of you by yourself?" He says, "Oh, I didn't realize." So the question is this really the halacha that a person is not allowed to have yichru with behema? Or even the other halachas? So if you go and look at number 5, Tosis points out, Nira dahani amaroi chumra ba'alma ka'avdi. These amaroyim, it was a chumra ba'alma. The non kind one, Karban Rabbi Yehuda, the Amrullo, Neshishol, Mishkan Zacharol, Behema. So these amaroyim, it wasn't usher to be in the same room, in the same place with the animals. However, in those days, I guess bestiality was very common, and therefore, since they were concerned, they were machmir on themselves. The Rush echoes the same idea in source number 6. The Afa Gav, the Chol Amaroyim, the Sambach, Machmir, Rabbi Behema, Iklamem, Rabbi Achmir, Hayu. Again, in regard to this, again, I don't think when it comes to bestiality is a reason to be machmir, because the, you know, we're not chashed on that today. However, we see in a situation where a person is concerned about that he might be nifshal, so then he certainly can be machmir himself to say that something is usher, as long as he realizes that it's a chumra ba'alma. The Rambam, source number 7, Rambam said, "Well, naturally, Yisrael Mishkan Zachar Behema. Jewish people were not accused of homosexuality, of lying with Behema. Lefichach ain asher l'shachliyem v'yun esurache gafdilu miyuchud Zachar Behema as a meshubach." A person, you know, is careful and distances himself in such a situation. He's praised. Again, we're talking a situation where he's concerned. He's concerned that there might be that he might be nichshol. Ugedolei chachamim hayimurachkin habeim leishliyich yachli ma v'ishul yichud arayis v'pi hakabbalah. So that is the pesach haRambam. So I want to say we learn from this, even though the sugi itself is not nogeya to us. If you feel that you might be nichshol a certain way, there's certainly a place to be machmir. So let's say for example, I remember when I was still a young child. I was the only one in my family that wasn't fasting Yom Kippur yet. I must have been 8 or 9 years old. And my father said to me, he put all the glasses in the cabinet at night. So he put all the glasses in the cabinet because he said he's afraid someone might get in the middle of the night, not forgetting that it's Yom Kippur, they're very sleepy, and they might go to the kitchen and take a glass of water, not realizing it, until they drink. He said to me, he's putting all the glasses in the cabinet. He says, "You know, you can drink," he says, "but do me a favor. If you take a drink, make sure you put the glass back, all right? Because someone might be nechshol." That's what he says. Otherwise, again, is that totally necessary? So obviously, when you're in a house of young children, it's something which is impossible to do. But again, we see the idea that a person sometimes has to think, how can I make sure that I'm not over a certain issue? First, has to think, how can I make sure that I'm not over a certain issue? And similarly, again, I'm not going to give an opinion upon this, but we speak about having a filter on a computer, right? Is it halachically obligated to have a filter on a computer? I don't see anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch you have to have a filter on the computer. However, if a person knows, if I have a filter on the computer, he might waste time, or he might look at sites that are very inappropriate. Yes, there was a place for such a thing, and that can be called the chumrah, very similar to these chumrah that we see in the Gemara. There is a place that even when I'll be halacha, you're not obligated to do something. However, if you're afraid that you're going to do something wrong, then you're certainly allowed. You're certainly allowed to be machmir. That is in terms of that. Then there's another source in the Gemara for another type of chumrah, again outside the realm of halacha. The Gemara Maseches Chulin, Daf Mem Da'al Mebeis, that would be source number 9, discusses about how there was once a certain Shiloh asked about a certain dish, and how a certain person, someone ate from it. So the Gemara asked the question, the Kevan, the Oriba Chacham, once a Chacham paskin, that you're not allowed to eat the paskin on this, hey Chacham in it, how did he come to eat on it? What does this mean? Vaksiv, he says, it's written in Sefer Yecheskel, the Omer Hashem Elokim. Yecheskel was trying to point out how good he is. He nei nafshi lo mitumun levelu trebel ochalti nurai barata. The lo bavet bat the thief Basar Pigal. Yecheskel says, I never ate from Tumo, the Basar Tmeya, the Velo, Trefa, or Basar Pigal. So, what does that mean? Nei nafshi lo mitumo. So Shalom her hair to be all beloved Elzuma Valila. So Cheskel said, I never, you know, had inappropriate thoughts in the day which would cause me to become tummy at night. When the Velu Trefa lo achalti, said I never ate in the Velu Trefa. Shalom achalti basr kos me olam. He says, I never ate raw meat. The Lobaba fi basr pigul, so achalti behema shahora bachacham. Cheskel says, I never ate from a behema that a chacham gave a psach on that it was kosher. Because what does that mean? What that means doesn't mean that a person goes to a chacham and he asks the chacham a shayla and the chacham paskins that it's mutter. It doesn't mean that. Because sometimes, a person just doesn't know the halacha. It's a very simple halacha. It means sometimes you have to go, you have a very serious shayla with a certain behema, and, there's different shittos, and you have to think it through. And in order to save Mammon Yisrael, so the Chacham is makir. He has what to rely on. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Behema shahora b'chatzim, source number 10, v'l nimsa adin b'feresh yimu teres, v'l nevesh l'yolchoy mena, v'l nevesh should not eat from it. In other words, if you're talking a situation where, so where is there a place for a chumrah? There's a place for a chumrah that, let's say, for example, it's not necessarily so simple, such a thing is allowed, such a thing is kosher. However, there is what to rely on, and therefore, in order not to place an extreme hardship on somebody, we're matir. So a person does not want to look for a kula, so then a person is allowed to go ahead and to be machmir. So that's the second spot where a person can be machmir. First spot is that he's afraid he might come to be over an isser, and the second place is that he doesn't want to rely on a leniency because of the fact that he doesn't need to. In other words, we understand we can't place extreme hardships on people. However, if a person does not want to rely on leniency because he wants to be above board and everything, then he's allowed to be machmir. Okay, that's as far as when it's good to be machmir. Question is now, I spend the rest of this year, is when is it bad to be machmir? I think that's a much more important question. Gemara says in the Sechah Sodah Chacham Aral, Hu Haya Omer, Chassid Shota. They are people who destroy the world. So the question is, what is a chassid shota? The Gemara tells us the chafal mavez. He says, "Hey, chidomi chassid shota. What is a chassid shota? Kegon de katova idus of enara v'amar lav orach arul istakuli b'avatzula. A chassid shota. Let's say, for example, a person is passing by a river, and all of a sudden he hears a lady screaming, 'Oh my gosh! I'm drowning, come save me.' And this man there, he's passing by, he knows how to save somebody, he can swim. And he looks, and it's a young lady, and he says, 'I can't go, because I'm afraid if I go to try to save her, right, I'm going to have a, I'm going to have evil thoughts.'" The Meiri in source number 13 is more explicit. The inin chassid shota who shem is chassid b'yos midai. A chassid shota is someone who is mischassid. He shows chassidus more than necessary. So what's wrong with that? At the masha chassiduso gorim hezek ola atmo la acher. In a way where your chassidus is going to cause hezek to yourself or to somebody else. To go and shemisana b'chol yom, a person who fasts every single day, right? He's going to cause a certain hezek to himself. A person who decides that he wants to get up in the middle of the night to learn, or he wants to say tikkun chatzos, or to say tehillim, and therefore it's going to ruin his health. Oh, shiro isha tovas nar ba'amra yinu lasin l'kadesh l'istacha ba'erva. Oh, shiro tino. The vaveya v'nar, he sees a child and he says, I have to take my tefillin off first. I want to remove my tefillin. And he went to person, in other words, a chassid shows that the person has a chumro who asked, it was chassidus, and he might hurt somebody because of that, that's a chassid shota. Now I'm going to give a few examples. So first of all, we think about this idea of a chassid shota, that someone who won't save someone who is drowning, a lady who's drowning, we think, ah, that's crazy, in the time of Chazal. I don't think it's so crazy, and I'll tell you why. I remember many years ago, I was at a family's bas mitzvah, my niece's bas mitzvah. And it was a Shabbos bas mitzvah, and for lunch, we had a family lunch together. And I turned to the Baal Simcha, I still remember, it was back in the days when I used to enjoy to eat a lot. And we had cold cuts. My mother really didn't serve cold cuts in the house. It wasn't a food that she had in Europe. Cold cuts wasn't, you know, we had cold cuts. Remember, corned beef, pastrami. It was very exciting for me. I was a young boy, you know, yeshiva bachur. I turned to Baal Simcha and I said, you know, whose cold cuts are these? And he told me whose cold cuts it was and who gave it to him. And my father sitting next to me, and he put his fork down. My father said, I can't eat anymore. Simcha said, Rebbe, what's the matter? He said, listen, he says, everyone can eat, I'm sure it's kosher. I'm sure it's kosher, it's mahadrin, it's klat, it's the best kashkar, he says, but I can't eat. This is why. Because I looked at the Shuva Sefer of this Hosek, this Rav Mashir, and he paskin that if you see someone who's slipping on ice during the winter, a lady who's not dressed tzanua, you shouldn't help her get up because she's not dressed with tznius. Okay? And my father said, someone who has a chumra like that, I can't eat from their hashkacha. Wow. Can't eat their hashkacha. So in other words, what's the point? The point is, we're not going to meet two people like that today. I don't think so. But the point is to realize sometimes when a person has a chumra, to be very, very careful how it shouldn't affect somebody else. And I want to bring a little closer to home, maybe. Something that happened to me. One of the chumras that my family does have when it comes to Tzeis L'Chavim is to keep... my father was very machmir at Tzeis L'Chavim. Very machmir. As a matter of fact, actually living in Eretz Yisrael for so many years, you know, I'm still machmir in Tam, but I really forgot the necessity for it. Last week I was in Prague, and for a few days, and I went to find a minyan. And they said, Mincha Ma'ariv is at 7:30. And our Shkia in Prague this time of year is 9:15.
Right.
So I said, 7:30? He said to me, what do you expect? He said, by 10 o'clock at night, everyone's sleeping. So I got back to my hotel. I went in the gear. My mom, I wanted to see when exactly the Shir says L'Chavim. Shir says L'Chavim. The first Shir says L'Chavim in Prague is 10:24. All right? 10:24. So I davened with them. I was davening with Chibur Plot and I davened Ma'ariv after Plot. But, you know, living in Chicago is not as dramatic as Prague. But I remember in the summer sometimes that Shabbos would end for my family at 11 o'clock at night. 11 o'clock. Shkia was 8:30. Shabbos ended at 11 o'clock at night. My father had a shita, which was, what Seis HaChavim would be when the sun was 90 degrees below the horizon. Where that comes from is very simple, that even though Chazal say that Seis HaChavim is 4 million after Shkia, but after only knew Shlomo Equinox Day. So how do you figure out what happens in Prague, or in Chicago, or in Beit Shemesh, or, you know, anywhere else in the world, Los Angeles? So you see, you know, where the sun is, nine minutes after Shkia, or 2 minutes after Shkia, and Equinox Day in Yerushalayim, and he figured the same thing out. There's a book that was written by Professor Levy, of old as modern. And I kept that sheet up. So living in Chicago wasn't a problem, because in my house, nothing moved. Shabbos was over in the summer, 11 o'clock, nothing happened. You came home, my father started dollar, and then everyone started, well, not everybody, but people started cleaning up afterwards. Then I got married, and I spent 6 years in Hamilton, Ontario. Hamilton, Ontario is half an hour out of Toronto. And there, believe it or not, she is like probably half an hour later, after Chicago. Not like Detroit, but a half an hour later. And there in the summer, Shabbos for me ended 11:30 at night. Now, when I got married, I did not tell my wife she has to keep that sheet on. I expect she'd run away. You know? So, but she kept her Ben Tom, still Ben Tom. And what I noticed is that in the summer months, by the time I would finish Shabbos, I had a study downstairs, I had come upstairs, and the house would be clean. And I actually, believe it or not, I felt very, very bad, and I felt very guilty. Because my wife was, children were still young, sitting in the house. And at that time, I spoke to my father about it, and I was Matar Neder, and I still keep 90 minutes after Shkir. But I was Matar Neder, because again, I felt that it was a chumrah that was had a negative effect on other people. And that's a very important point. When a person has a chumrah, they're very careful that it shouldn't affect you, and it shouldn't affect it should not affect somebody else. However, you have to realize that and that's something you have to always keep in mind. So let's say, for example, when it comes to another idea. My father never liked making Shabbos early. Because the question is, what do you do if you're Chaskriya Shema? He never liked making Shabbos early. But when he went to a simcha of his family who made Shabbos early, he would make Shabbos early. Again, when the person has a chumrah, be very careful that the chumrah does not affect other people. That is an important spot. I would say that let's go on. Another point to be careful that when it comes to a chumrah is the Shalosh Shulis Radvaz Chelak Dal from Reish Tzadik Vav. If you look, well, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but it seemed that in a certain town about that people had shilas of a certain shochet, and someone wanted to know, can I go to this town and eat from the kalim of my friends in this town, because maybe they had meat from this shochet. Okay, so he goes through all the svaras, the Radvaz, why it should be mutter, it shouldn't be usher. He wasn't really concerned about that. And if you look at the end, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the end of number 14. For od yesh li lomar, gazeh, mishum lo yishana adam ne machlokes. The person does not change because of machlokes. The cost of ritva zal, the shame rabos of zal, ki v'dabar she'ena isim revurah, v'lo mukhra, lo yishana machlokes. He says that a person, where the issue is not mavur, it's not clear, should not do things different in machlokas. And he says, v'yoter tov haya, it would have been better, shle'elu ha-machmirim, shlo yelchulu shum bayish yazminu osam, v'yasimu lehem ta'onam, imash yagilu aslehem, l'shavino kechusa, yochad me'am yaretz. So be very careful if you go to someone's house and you're going to have questions on their kashrus. And you're going to ask them the kashrus, you're not going to eat something. You have to be very, very careful. He says, and I'm not going to say more about this because it's not going to help. It might cause damage. But he says, if you have a shayla on someone's kashrus, you want them to kashra the kalim, you don't like their shchita, better not go there. Don't say anything. That's what Rabbi says. Better not to go there. Shlomo, I would just mention that I remember that my father and my family were very mocked when it came to Hafrashas Trumas and Maaseres in Eretz Yisrael, because the Rambam says a chaver should also be mafresh. You shouldn't mind somebody else. Whenever they bought something, they would go ahead and they would always be mafresh Trumas and Maaseres when they were Eretz Yisrael. Okay, you know, I'm not sure what my parents would have done if they would have moved lived here, but you know, it's one thing. If you're visiting Eretz Yisrael, be mafresh everything. If something else, if you're living here every day, be mafresh. When you go to the shuk and you see there's 3 hashkachas and you're mafresh, I wasn't mafresh. I remember my father came to visit me. I told him, Abba, I'm not mafresh through Mr. Maishwas. I buy from my hashim hashkachas. And if you want, we mafresh for you. So he said to me, I'm in your house, right? I'll do what you do, it's fine. Okay, so you might say, you know, my father, one of us lying, someone like me, you want to make me feel bad. But I remember one of my brothers came to visit, and I told him the same thing. I'm in your house, I'm eating your food. that certain idea be very careful about. You know, and in general, I also follow the pastor's word, but except when it comes to one issue. One issue that I follow, in other words, if I go to someone's house, I'm leaving that house. The only issue I'm more machmir about is when it comes to the Isser Chadash, because my father held Isser Chadash as a real din, and there. So usually I don't say anything. And I find things to eat. You know, you don't have to eat everything that people serve. So I find things to eat. Sometimes I'll say I don't want to wash, and I don't want, you know, it's very, very simple. There was one time I was invited to an offer in Muncie. A convert of mine was getting married, and he flew me in for the wedding. And I was staying at my brother-in-law for Shabbos, and I was going to walk to the offer from Shabbos. So there I had a problem, because I didn't mind, you know, coming to a place and having water and not eating. But Shabbos is Shabbos, and Shabbos you have to wash from challah. So I called my friend, I feel very, very bad. And the truth is, I said, if I would be able to get to the shul before Shabbos, I'd bring my own challahs and hide them. But I said, I can't eat chadash. So he calls me back, and I start looking into it. He calls me back, he says, this is Muncie, he says. The chickens might be trashed, but everything is definitely Muncie. But in general, be very careful when you have a chumrah that you don't hurt somebody, you don't hurt somebody's feelings. You're very, very careful that you don't hurt somebody's feelings. And then, well, if you go on and you look, that's another point to be careful. The one more point I would make about let's go on. It's source number 15. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Yud Bei Sif Tesvav, Misha Nizar Mipas Obed Kochavim. A person who's Nizar from Pas Obed Kochavim, Mutter Lechol Bekara Misha Nizar Menom. Let's say, for example, sitting on the lunch with somebody, and I'm machmir not to eat pas akum, pas palter, pas that's made by a non-Jew in the bakery. I'm not eating that. And someone, my friend there does, and we're sitting in the same plate, so I'm allowed to eat from the same plate. The apalti, and even though the tam, the pas of chavin, will get mixed up with my pas, my bread, we're not concerned. So he says, And then he says, Yesha Omrin, the Ramah adds, he says that if I come to someone's house and I'm machmir, I'm pas palter, not to eat bread of an old cloth made by a non-Jewish bakery. And the house I'm eating at, they're not machmir. So if I am allowed to eat together with them, why? Because of Eva and Katata. Because if I don't eat with them, it might cause a certain hate, it might cause anger, it might cause machlokas. Because if I don't eat bread with them, or sticker as sudo, so they might come to be very angry at me. And then he says, they lilt mode mikan l'shari surim. Right? This is why. So again, the Shach points out, it's because people get more insulted, at least in those days, they don't eat from their bread. But you see how far the poskim went to make sure that because of your own chumrah, it wasn't just a personal chumrah, you wouldn't hurt someone's feelings. Be very careful when you have a chumrah that you're not going to go ahead and to hurt someone's feelings. Now, I just want to skip a little bit, and then I'll come back to maybe a few other sources. But before I proceed, something else is not on the sheet. I think something else is important when it comes to a chumrah, is a person has to make sure if he has a chumrah, unless he takes an amount of time, it's not going to be something later on in life he might regret and be matter neder. Why? Why is that? Because sometimes when a person takes a certain chumrah, he feels, I'm growing, and then all of a sudden he's matzah neder, what happens? He might feel like he's regressing. So, I'll give an example, another personal example. I did go through a stage in life, when I was a teenager, when I liked chumrahs. By the way, that's what happens when you grow up in a house of a salvation. Okay? You did like certain styles, you like chumrahs. So my father, one year, it was the first time that Erev Pesach had fallen out on Shabbos, many, many years. And as you can understand, people were very uptight. There were many people who had not made Pesach that year before. What are you going to do? You know, you don't want to have chametz in the house. You can't have matzah. And so there are various ways out. And one of the ways out is to have egg matzah. And Erev Pesach should hold us for Shabbos. The problem is what do you do with egg matzah? After all, you have to become a suda. So the problem is that Bill McGowan has a very, very
large shear for Kaviyah Sudha. Very large shear. Like 23 babies. Very large shear. So my father was matir at that time, actually. Was matir. That people can make hamotzi and egg matzah. However, he was kind of the Vilna Gaon. So it was mitzarif, another heter, another kula with this psachi from being Kaviyah Sudha. And what was that? He found the shitas or zerua. There's halach on Shabbos. So what happens about Shabbos? What happens about Shabbos? You know, there's halacha. Let's say I go to my garden. I go into a field and there's I tuck off a cherry from my tree in Eretz Yisrael. And do I have, am I allowed to eat the cherry? I have to mafish Trumas and Maestros first. What's the halacha?
On Shabbos.
No, not on Shabbos. During the week. What? It's outside. Right, that's cool. You're eating a bederach haroi. You bring it to the house. You're having a meal, sitting down. Even you have to go ahead and be mafish it first, right? So what happens on Shabbos to some of these cherries? Not that you plucked it off on Shabbos. Let's say it was plucked off before Shabbos. What happens? So Chazal tell us that Shabbos is Kovei Adagavi Maestros. When it comes to Shabbos, all Shabbos is so special. There's nothing aroy. Everything is like it's part of a meal. And therefore on Shabbos, anything you eat has to be hufrash first. You can't be mafresh on Shabbos. In other words, that you can go ahead and start the prayer process before Shabbos. But if you didn't start before Shabbos, you can't start that process on Shabbos. I don't think the fact of the matter is that Shabbos Kaveh Lagabe Maestros, and I think something which is Tevel, I think is Muxa on Shabbos. I think it's Muxa on Shabbos. I remember a number of years ago, there's a certain shul in Mat Beit Shemesh that they got matzahs. That they were not in the Mafresh Challah from, right? And the Shabbos are Pesach, and they couldn't eat their matzahs on Pesach night because of that. So even though when it comes to Yontif, you're allowed to be Mafresh Challah if something which you baked on Yontif itself, or you baked before Yontif, the Gemara says basically you can't. Whatever it is, you can't. There was no such kula that you're allowed to eat something without being Mafresh and Shabbos outside. Okay. Now, so Dorzer says the same thing applies. To cake and cookies. What does that mean? What bracha do you make on cake and cookies? What happens if I sit down and I decide to have 30 cookies? Let's say someone comes to the student, you have to wash at the bench. Alright? So the Or Zerua says that if someone eats cake and cookies on Shabbos, he has to go ahead and he has to wash and bench. Not a little meal. Why? Because Shabbos makes the cake and cookies so special, it has to be and you have to wash and bench. So my father said, "Oh, I'll be mitzarif this shita to the shita of Kaveh Yasuda, and those two shita together, you can go ahead and make a motzi egg matzah without eating the large shita." But he didn't want to be mitzarif. My father was very intellectually honest. He didn't want to be mitzarif that shita. You know, he picked a shita out of a hat. No one ever kept this chumrah, right? But he decided he was going to keep this chumrah. He didn't keep this chumrah. Okay, I wasn't in bar mitzvah yet when this happened, and I think my brothers also kicked it out. And then when I became like, I think 14 years old, 15 years old, that was the stage I went through, okay? And I decided that I'm going to pick up this chumrah also. It was chumrah also. And at 14 years old, Baruch Hashem, I can say I'm now 50, Leon Hara, manifestor, years ago. And I don't think that I've eaten cake on Shabbos outside of a meal since I was 14 years old, okay? Why? I regret it over the years. I certainly did regret it over the years, no question about it. And that's why, because after a meal, how much cake can you eat, right? Especially on a long Shabbos. However, two reasons I don't regret it. Number one, I think that this chumrah has probably saved me at least 30 pounds, if not 30 kilos. That's number one. Number two is the whole idea of having a chumrah and things become difficult, going ahead and giving it up. I didn't like that idea. So I think for the two reasons together, again, so therefore a person has to know when he makabel something on himself, less for a certain amount of time, he has to feel like he's going to go ahead and he's going to continually grow. And it shouldn't be something which, you know, you might drop later on because it'd be too hard. Because again, puts in motion a certain feeling of, you know, I'm not growing. I'm actually aggressive, so be very careful about that. Okay, now I'd like to skip to source number 21 and 22, and then come back to source 20. So there's a machlokes about, source number 22.
machlokes about how much the person washed their hands when it comes to Netilas Yadayim for bread. Some Rishonim you have to wash your hands till here, to under the knuckles. And some Rishonim say you have to wash your hands till under the hand. And we obviously today we're machmir, and we wash our hands, our whole hand. One of the reasons we're machmir today is very simply, why are we machmir today?
We have water,
Baruch Hashem. We don't have to go to the well to get the water. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, the Ikar HaDin, you only have to wash under the knuckles. Okay, but we're machmir. According to our Hashulchan, the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, feels maybe not that way, but according to our Hashulchan, the Pashul of Rabbi Yosef is mashma that way also. However, he says, if you look at number 22, the Taz, that he's not so happy about this Chumrah. Because the Taz says like this, Nira, the Yesh Chashash Chumrah Zos, Ibn Heroim, She Yizburu She Ikaradin Kainu. Because some people think, oh, that's Ikaradin. And what's going to happen? So therefore, Reuven is going to see Shimon who washes his hands till here, and he'll say, oh, that must be the din. Then one day he'll see Levi go and wash his hands till here, and he'll say, oh, Levi doesn't follow the din, doesn't wash his hands. Right? So he says, So it'll be like two Torahs. Some people will think that you only have to wash till here. Some think you only have to wash till here. And therefore, be very careful. So the Taz is not like this Chumrah. So number one, when you have a Chumrah, you have to be very, very careful to know what's a Chumrah, what's not a Chumrah. And that's very, very important. And that's why the Taz is not like this Chumrah. The Su, the Yotzi Laz, the Chayn Yisubashi, and then also there'll be Motzi Laz on people, because they'll say, people are not keeping the Halacha. So therefore, when it comes to a Chumrah, be very, very careful, number one, that we can't be motzalaz, we can't be motzilaz on people, and not look down on people who don't keep this chumrah. Number two, we have to understand what is the chumrah, what's not a chumrah, what's meikar adin, and what's not meikar adin. That's very important. I have to tell you that this last week, when I was in Prague, so a day before, you know, when I went with my wife for a few days, and we were discussing what do you bring back for the children, right? So we thought, you know, let's bring them back some European chocolate. Alright? So we went, you know, we went to the list and we found what chocolate was. We went to the stores. None of the stores was on the list. So I went to Shul and I met someone in the street who lives in Prague, and I said, I want to buy some chocolate. So he says to me, all the chocolate here is treif. I said, really? Wow. I said, on the list I saw this and this and this. He said, well, it's not Chol Yisrael. So I said, listen, I said, I'm not going to Chol Yisrael. I said, my children, right, are not. He says, oh, if you're not going to Chol Yisrael, then you can have this and this and this and this brand, all right? So in other words, again, it's very important that when you have a chumrah, to realize what's Me'ikar Adin and what's not Me'ikar Adin. Not to Motzi Laz, and also not to go ahead, and not what's not much Motzi Laz, and also not to go ahead and to forget what is Meikar Adin, as the Taz points out. One last point, and this is based on the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara there discusses that about halacha of a chassan. A chassan, when he got married, was obviously in those days very, very nervous, and therefore the Gemara in Brachos tells the machlokas whether a chassan has to recite Kriya Shema on the night he gets married. So because what would be the problem? A person is very nervous and he doesn't have kavana, you know, he shouldn't recite Kriya Shema. And there are times, let's say for example, Menachem Begin, when he was running away from the British and they were out to get him, because one time, where did he go run away to? So he knew the famous story. He went to my great uncle's house, Rebelville Soloveitchik. Rebelville did not like the Zionists, right? And he figured he could hide in Rebelville's house because the British would never come to think that he would hide with Menachem Begin. So he came to Rebelville's house. Rebelville was a rub in Brisk, and Menachem Begin came from Brisk. And Rebelville agreed. Okay? And the British, by the way, they were smarter than Menachem Begin thought he was. And they came to Rebelville's house. But Rebelville was smarter than the British. Rebelville said to them, are you crazy? Do you think I would hide with Menachem Begin? I would turn him over to you, right? So at that time, Rebelville told Menachem Begin that he shouldn't put on his tefillin, he would be too nervous, because obviously he was hiding from the British during those few days. So in other words, again, so when a person is reciting Kriya Shema, the question is, can a customer recite Kriya Shema on the night he gets married? So he's potter because he's very nervous, he can't focus on Kabbalah Shalom Alfus Shemayim. However, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, the Tanna Kamma holds that if he wants to, he can recite Kriya Shema. And Shmuel Nil says, no, not everyone can recite Kriya Shema. Why? Because what happens? A person who recites Kriya Shema on the night of his wedding is saying is, even though most chassanim are nervous, right? I'm on a higher level. I can rise above my thoughts that are bothering me. I can rise above that. Now Shmuel Nil says, the Tanakhama says we're not worried about. Someone else says no. We're worried about Gaiba, and not everyone can do that. So in other words, so what's the problem? And without going through the Gemara, as the hour is late, but basically, is a person should not make himself out to be better than he really is. That's the basic idea. As a matter of fact, there's Yerushalmi. Well, a person not makes himself better than he really is, and therefore the Gemara says that even according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Sometimes, he can act in a way where he's more machmir on himself than he, according to his level, because he doesn't look different than other people. He looks the same. But so therefore, a person, when he's machmir, has to be very careful that he doesn't look different than other people. A person has a chumrah, he should be careful to keep it to himself. That's the idea. So a person can have a chumrah. However, if he doesn't keep it to himself, he might be guilty of a jura of what will be perceived as a certain type of gaiva. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says in source number 20, Hamisa'ana simen tukhuf samachay sitvav. Hamisa'ana mafarsim atmo lacherim. Lishtabeach shu misa'ana. A person who fasts and he's mafarsim to others that he's fasting, punena shalkach will be punished for this. So therefore, I think the important idea is that when a person has a chumrah, a person should go ahead and a person should keep it to himself. And a person who basically does not keep it to himself can be accused maybe of having a chumrah for ulterior motives. Not because he's really concerned, not to show Yirah Shemayim. He's just trying to show that he's better than other people. Therefore, that's something that you have to be very careful about. Just very quickly to summarize, we spoke that sometimes it's important to have a certain chumrah. Number one, to make sure you won't be over any suffix isser. Number two, we spoke to not put yourself in a situation when you might come to do an isser. And even though, and also, it's okay if a person has to have a chumrah because he feels it will help him grow. But if a person is going to have a chumrah, he has to be careful of certain things. Number one, he has to be careful that he doesn't hurt people in the process. He doesn't affect people in a negative way. Whether it's family or other people. People who he could come to help because of this chumrah, he might not be able to help them. Also, be very careful you don't cause machlokas because of this chumrah. You don't feel bad because people will feel bad. To make sure that when you do a chumrah, you realize it's only a chumrah. It's not mikra din. And it'll look down on other people. And the last is to make sure that when a person has a chumrah, he does it for the right motive and not just to put himself on a pedestal and therefore he doesn't boast. And really, from the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, it seems that the person, if he has a chumrah, should try to keep the chumrah to himself. Rit Hashem, we should all find our own way to grow, and hopefully through all the schuyos that everyone is trying to involve themselves in now, we should see that the three boys that were kidnapped are found, and those people who committed this act, those fathers should be punished.